The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Today we discuss the undiscussable. Actually, it's indiscussable, but that's okay. Long public prayers. Snoozing. Also, the Lord uses us in many amazing ways. It's terrific, but it's not a reason to get a big head. And also, we see the end getting closer and closer. Some Christians are too confused by the events. So, what are the two huge keys to keep looking for?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, folks, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, let's give a shout-out to Clint and our good friends at Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
All right, any fire and water damage cleanup, any smoke cleanup, any sewage removal and other restoration services going on in your life, you have somebody to call that will take care of you, and they will do a phenomenal job. If you're a real estate agent and you know people that are going through some phenomenal opportunity to hook them up with somebody that just is so well respected in the community, in the entire Dallas area, in the entire Texas area, even in Amarillo, even, I mean, it's not just Denton and Grapevine and Fort Worth, it's all over Texas and even expanding into other states. That's how good Mr. Restore is. Thousands and thousands of happy customers. That's a lot. When you say thousands and thousands, that's more than 1,000. That's a lot. You can go to MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. Of course, you can connect to them through our website, DavidSpoonMedia.com, because there is a link there. But the bottom line is you've got over 50 years of restoration experience, family-owned and operated, emergency response and on-site within 60 minutes, working with all insurance companies and A-plus rated with the BBB. Get in touch with Mr. Restore, and in any way, shape, or form, if you've got fire and water damage, smoke damage, sewage damage, other removal or restoration services, 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. I've reached out to Clint and asked Clint to come on back because he came in for an hour, if you remember last time. And we talked about the business. And then we talked about not just the business, but his testimony. And then we talked about the Adaptive Foundation. We talked about, you know, the Adaptive Training Foundation. And we found out a lot about him we didn't know. And that's the coolest part about doing Christian radio and having Christian businesses on. It's just fantastic. Give him a call. Touch base with him. MrRestore.com. Reach out to Clint. Let him know you said hi. Let me check in with Wonder Julie. Make sure she's doing good. Are we doing good?
Kicking like kung fu.
Kicking like kung fu. Do you make that stuff up or did you hear those lines? Come on, tell the truth. Tell the truth.
No, I didn't.
Great line.
I'm just somebody I knew in my past used to say that.
Kicking like kung fu. I just saw a retro on some of the best cartoons from the 70s, and Hong Kong Fooey was one. That's why that's
loved
so
that
funny.
Cartoon.
Oh, I love that. Hong Kong Fooey. All right. Anyway, let's give a couple of props where props are due. It's pretty good for Houston, who is battling the Washington. What are they now? What's the Washington?
Nationals.
Didn't they used to be the Senators, like the Washington Senators, years and years
you've
ago?
You've lost me now. I have no idea.
They won three in a row, though, right? So they're one more game, and then they're the champs.
Yes, if they win tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can be mad at Houston for a lot of things. Let's say you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, and you're mad at Houston because they're football team or whatever, but you're not going to really choose Washington over Houston,
yeah,
are you?
Why would you?
I mean, that's near blasphemy. It's not blasphemy. It's really close.
Well, if you notice, the W that they use is just like the W on Walgreens. So people have been posting, we can't get beat by Walgreens.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Walgreens. I actually bought Noelle something from there, and it was some chocolate. And the first thing she said, I'm not disparaging anybody, I'm just saying the first thing she said is, are these old? Sounds like it's $5 I'll never see again. Yeah. Anyway, weird history today. Although speaking of that, you know what today is? Today is a very famous day.
I don't know.
National Chocolate Day.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you can't beat that. And then for people that really like stuffed animals, maybe you're a person that's like, I'm a stuffed animal person. I like stuffed animals. It's Plush Animal Lovers Day, which is a stuffed animal, just in case people want to know. Two other things I thought were noteworthy. Number one, Statue of Liberty was dedicated on this day in 1886. I thought that was kind of cool. But here is something I found even more fascinating. In the late 1890s, this is the day that the first article came out on fingerprinting, which is like, what? Like 100 years ago, Nature magazine published the first article to advocate the use of fingerprinting. It's like, really? I had no idea. I just thought that was weird. It's like, yeah, that's good. All right. I have this whole list of really weird things that happened. On the 28th, apparently that was one of them, and went over like the brick that I thought.
I don't even know what fingerprinting is.
Well, that's where you fingerprint somebody for like.
Oh, okay. Like if you go to jail.
Yeah, well, yes, but if you get, of course, you would go there. But if you work for the government, if you are actually a real estate agent, you have to be fingerprinted.
Well, my phone has my fingerprint.
There you go. Okay. There you go. So this is the way
you don't have to go to jail to do that.
Yeah, that's correct. Good. All right, let's get into the unique teaching. I've wanted to do this for a while. This is a little bit. Don't get upset about this. If you're a religious person, God bless you. If you're a religious person that you're so religious you can't laugh, God help you. I mean, those are the two things I got for you. Here is the scripture. I'm pulling it off. Mark chapter 12, verse 40, referring to overly religious people. They devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher punishments, making reference to those that are trying to look good in public, also making reference to those who are hypocrites. And it's long prayer, so I'm going to do my best to do this. If my brother is listening, he might not be able to stand after I do this whole little bit right here. But first of all, let's just be honest. Let's just be truthful as Christians. Let's not play the game. Let's not play churchianity. Let's just be forward. When somebody prays a prayer in public and that prayer drones on, and I do use the word drone in the prior context of what the word drone means, and I mean goes back and back and they just keep going and going, and it's like just so you can be aware, okay, just so everybody can know, nobody likes it. Okay, it's not spiritual. Nobody likes it if you just keep going and going. There's a time for the Energizer Bunny, and then there's a time not to have the Energizer Bunny. And prayer time, depending on whether you're gathering for the purpose of prayer, and then the whole idea is to pray. That's one thing. But if you're praying over the food and it takes you 20 minutes to get through the prayer over food. It's not that your people don't appreciate your thankfulness, but not any Jewish person ever has prayed that long. And to be really honest, Jewish people, we pray after the meal because it's tough to give thanks when the meal's lousy. I'm just telling you, don't get mad at me. If you run out of words when you're praying, let me help you. This is going to give you some practical things. So people will pray, and my wife has had this challenge in the past. So she feels like she runs out of things to say when she's praying. The answer is finish. And then Lord bless these people and bless these people. Okay, and then she'll stop. Okay. And if she's trying to come up with something, that is not the answer. The answer is you're done. Just time to drop in Jesus' name and move on. And why I'm trying to tell you that is because it's practical. It's practical to your Christianity. There's nothing wrong with getting in and getting deep prayers, but you guys know what I'm talking about when somebody kind of goes overboard, and you know they're going overboard, and because they're trying to do good, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if they're trying to do it for show, there's something wrong with that. And I'm going to tell you something that nobody will say to you on Christian radio, and I'm going to just be honest with you. When people spend an enormous amount of time when they're doing prayers and they're just taking really, 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 really long, and their entire concept is a long-winded affair, I can guarantee you this. Very few people want to fellowship with you because they feel as soon as they talk to you, it's going to be 3 hours of conversation. Take it easy. Okay, and then I'm going to close with this. My brother and I did a Christian comedy album before Christian comedy albums were allowed. So we never really released it. But we put it together, and it made no sense. And it was, you know, he had a recording studio, so one night we were just losing our minds and having fun. And so we wrote one skit and did this on the record. And it was the guy that was praying over the food. And you know what happens, because you got the food, it's hot, it's ready to go, let's say the prayer. There's nothing wrong with taking a proper amount of time and saying thank you to the Lord and being appreciative. But we did the prayer in such a way as, you know, Lord, bless this food. We thank you for it. We really appreciate it. We appreciate that. And then there was a delay. And then we go, and Lord, we just want to thank you for the farmers that really worked hard and put the food together, and everybody that raised the cattle that we waited. And we want to thank you for the trucks that brought the food into the grocery store. Then we waited. And then we said, and we want to thank you for the people that paved the roads, for the trucks to be able to drive so they can get to the grocery store so that everybody can eat. And then we would go back further and say, we want to thank you for the people that put the trucks together. They put the trucks together. They put the road together. Everybody gets on the road. They're able to go. The food comes here. And you just kept going and going and going. You know what that is? Too long. That's what that is. Too long. If you can't figure out that God knows you're thankful in 30 seconds to a minute or even 5 minutes. That's why people don't have you pray over the food. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water,
are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. A
apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. And check it out. There's a lot of cool little things on there. Lots of colors. That's what you'd expect from somebody like myself. Let's get to our trivia. Now, the first one is a little easier, but the second one is a little tougher. Okay? First one's easier. Second one's tougher. Who was born first, Jacob or Esau? Who was born first, Jacob or Esau? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. I do want to say before we get into the next teaching, you know, it's talking about prayers and prayer over food. You know, I think what happens is there's just a little bit of a legalism, and I'm just trying to kind of give you a little break there. Some people will look at a scripture and talks about, you know, the Pharisees and the religious leaders wanting the front seats in the synagogue and places of honor in the banquets. And then because of that, because of how people interpret that, they think they shouldn't sit in the front row of the church, because if you sit in the front row, you're like taking a seat of honor, which is why the majority of churches don't have people in the front row, because they're like, I don't want to act like I'm a person of honor. And then the other reason people don't sit in the front row is because if they ever have to get up during the service or anything happens, I mean, there's a couple of things that go on with that. But I want to let you know that if you sit in the front row at the church service, you're not stealing a seat of honor per se. Now, if there's a section that is sectioned off for guests in the front row, that'd be a different story. But I'm just saying, we can get so legalistic in some of this stuff that it kind of comes out weird. And I just think we should maybe, you know, be more normal. As I read through the life of Jesus Christ, the teachings of the Son of God are up. They're clear. They're oriented towards faith. They're oriented towards grace. They're oriented towards forgiveness and eternal life. They're oriented towards getting on God's page. I mean, there's a lot of things there are. But he's not like a weirdo. So it's like, come on. Stop that. That's stuff you don't need to do. All right. Again, our trivia question, who was born first, Jacob or Esau? If don't look it up on Google. You know it's in Genesis, so if you need to find out which one, it's a very specific story about them coming out really kind of very close, timing-wise. 972-445-0770. I came across this story that I always reflect upon this story as probably the most humbling story in Scripture.
This is the story, and I just want to kind of set it up real quickly. This is the story of Balaam. Balaam was determined to be a false prophet by definition in the scriptures. In fact, he was actually at one point executed. Here's the bottom line for Balaam. Balaam was asked to curse Israel. And so he thought, all right, I'm going to go curse Israel. That's a great idea. So I want to pick it up from Numbers chapter 22 and verse 21. It says this, Balaam got up in the morning, he saddled his donkey, and he went to the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, and turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat the donkey to get back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it laid down under Balaam, and he was angry, and he beat it with his staff. And the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that made you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made me look like a fool. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden on to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it." You read this story, and I want to say this, and I want to say this in a really encouraging way. I love it when God uses me in any way, shape, or form where it's encouraging, it's a blessing for somebody. I like when people call. I mean, it's a little ego, but it's also encouraging to know that your work is doing something and having an impact. So getting an email, getting a phone call, getting those things, or saying something to somebody and knowing you just spoke, you know, in the name of the Lord, something that was right into their spirit. There's something about it, and there's sometimes you'll speak and I'll speak, and it will be beyond us. Ever done that? You say something, and it's beyond you. You know it's better than you, and you know that then the Lord is using you. And that is so cool. It's awesome to be used by the Lord. But lest you and I, yes, I did use the word lest you and I get a big head, please keep in mind that God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. And why you need to let that sink in is to give you the idea that God can do anything. And it's great to be used by the Lord, but it's not a cause for an elevated head. When Peter gave his wonderful confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," although he probably didn't say it in a King James voice. Anyway, he felt so good about himself and so good about his confession. What happened was the very next thing that happened, then Jesus told him, "Well, the Son of Man's going to go here and die," and so on and so forth. And then Peter goes, "Oh, no, 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 no. Not with me around, buddy. I'm here to help. That's not happening to you." And then Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." So he went from great confession to totally off the grid. Oops. He went from genius to not genius. He went from the throne room to not the throne room. This is what happened in a matter of seconds, in a matter of minutes. And my point in bringing that up is that it's awesome to be used by the Lord and to say the right things and do the right things and be a part of that process. It's fantastic. But we can't sit there and go, aren't we great? Because the answer is no. God used a donkey. All right, I'm just going to let that sink in. He used that donkey to rebuke a prophet. David was a false prophet. I think you're missing the point. He opened up the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey and Balaam had a discussion. I'm not sure if a lot of people catch this or not, but the donkey said, what have I done that you've beat me these three times? And Balaam's like, you made me a fool. If I had a sword, I'd kill you. And the donkey goes, aren't I your donkey? Haven't I been riding with you the whole time? I mean, have I ever done this to you? Balaam goes, no. It's at this point you have to wonder, does he not know that he's having an argument with a donkey? Is this escaping him? He's so mad that he doesn't recognize that the donkey or him are in conversation. Okay, it's valid. They're not talking about the spread between two football teams, and they're not talking about what's better, offense or defense. But they are having a discussion, and the donkey is carrying on the discussion, and Balaam is like, eh. Because God can use anybody and anything to accomplish his purpose. And that's what we miss. It doesn't take us to be perfect to be used by the Lord. It does take us to present ourselves. It does take us to yield. But even then, if we're not and God really wants to get something done, he might in fact just use you because he wants to get something done. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign. He's the Lord. And I do appreciate the tension between free will and between, you know, election and God, you know, determining predestination, free will. I love the tension. I love the thing. I love the interaction. But when Paul was on his donkey and God knocked him on his keister and blinded him and then said, hey, pal, I got a message for you, there was no free will in that moment. You can't sit there and say, well, Paul could have said he wasn't blind. I mean, it's ridiculous. My point in that is saying this. The Lord wants to use you, loves to use you, loves to partnership with you. But don't get too big ahead. Don't get too inflated. Don't get too full of pride because you have to recognize God can use anybody or anything. After all, oh, you're not going to like this. He's been utilizing Satan's rebellion to teach his children greater strength, wisdom, insight, and understanding. All you got to do is look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12 to understand he teaches the wisdom that comes from him to the powers that be in heaven through the church. He's still, you know, the devil rebelled. God's still using him because God can use anybody. It's just better to be in a better place. When he uses you, say thank you, humble yourself, leave it there. Don't make yourself bigger. It won't help you, I promise. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian Station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Destroying everyone and everything.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or a 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries.
The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. Do you understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That is our email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. The website is davidspoonmedia.com. See how that works? You're welcome to go there. Check things out. We hope you do. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. There are a couple of different things that are up there that are new. I don't update them all the time, but there's some stuff that's new, which I kind of like to do. Our question, which we do not have answered yet, so I want to make sure that we get it answered. Why? Because it's important for you to understand, especially this particular story. Who was born first, Jacob or Esau? Who was born first, Jacob or Esau? Only hint I'll give you is that there might be a color thread involved. That might help you as you're looking it up. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Let us know if you think you know, and we'll give you a chance to share what that is. Okay, so we have talked about long prayers. Long prayers. And then we've discussed being used by God, which is totally awesome, but also recognizing not to get too big ahead. Oh, we got somebody coming and calling in. This is David. Who am I talking to? This is David. Who am I talking to? Let's see. This is David. Who am I talking to? Okay. Did I do that? I probably did that. I'm sorry. Do I need to hit something else? Okay, here we go. I'll try it again. Okay. You tell me what to do. See, these buttons, they ring, and then I get afraid of them because I don't know what they are. See? And then if I hit them wrong. Okay, so here we go. To try this again. If it's my fault, what do I do?
Top button.
Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
In Climax.
How you doing, Bobby?
Pretty. I think I remember the answer to that.
All right. Now, listen, the good news is that it's a 1-2. It's a 50-50, right?
Right. I think Jacob stuck his foot or hand out first, and they tied a ribbon onto it, and then Esau fought him and got out first.
That is correct, sir. You are
right.
Not too bad for a 55 memory.
Yeah, that's a good memory. That's really good because that's what took place. Excellent job. And
Thank you.
I mean, the idea there, though, is that, there it was kind of a fight to who would come first. Not that brothers ever fight or anything. or maybe they do.
I got one of each.
Well, there you go. I mean, so you know how that goes. Excellent job answering that question. So that was something you pulled from memory then, right?
Yeah.
Good.
As soon as you said it, I remember the Jacob later became Israel. But he made up to his brother, and he thought his brother was going to kill him.
Yep.
And anyway, finally his brother accepted him, and I guess they lived happily ever after.
Yeah. That's a great way to put that. But, yeah, they had a little bit of brotherly tension. But as you get older, you do a little bit better. You become a little bit wiser. And
then
you work together a little bit stronger, especially to carry on the family. So excellent job, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Keep up the good questions.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Gotcha. Did I? Good job by Bobby. I probably pressed the wrong button. It's my fault. So I'll just take Hey, it's a button. They don't pay me to push buttons because I don't know what buttons to push. You see how that works? Okay. All right, let me get over to this one. This is what's going on. Have you watched the news? Have you? Now, this just happened to my wife and I. So she's been working a lot. Now, when I say a lot, for her, she's used to working 40 hours. That's not a big deal. But because she's kind of in this new position, they have her working 55 plus hours, standing on her feet, doing stuff like consistently. And then last week she actually worked like 60 hours, which is a lot of hours to work. And so we were just at home on Saturday. We were doing this, chilling like a, well, they do say chilling like a villain. I mean, we were doing nothing. Okay. That was the whole goal. And so then we started to look for things to watch. You ever do that where you're on television and it's like, well, we want to watch something, but we don't want to really, you know. And then I wasn't going to make her watch football. It wasn't fair to show her how Michigan destroyed Notre Dame. I just thought that would not be nice to do. So we turned on the news and we watched the news for 60 seconds. And I just said, we could watch a horror film. It's kind of like the same thing. Now, there was good military news that took place on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about that. But it's always so dark. It's always so depressing. And people who are Christians are not sure how to handle this. The first thing I'm going to tell you is if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, and you see all this stuff that's going on, before you get too discouraged, keep in mind that as it gets closer and closer to the Lord returning, this kind of news stuff is going to get worse and worse. So the worse it gets, the closer you are. So instead of getting all freaked out, which I don't want Christians to get freaked out, I want you to be aware, it's getting closer, it's getting closer, it's getting closer. But there are two primary elements that come to mind. And I understand that eschatologically people are going to say, well, in the formula it goes like this, and in the formula it goes like this. Well, I want you to pull back from the formulas that you've committed to just for a second, not to disregard them, but just to see the big picture, just for a second, okay? I'm not asking you to abandon your eschatology. I'm simply asking you to wait a second. Let me read this and let me show you two things to keep in mind as we are drawing closer and closer. That's all I'm asking. Mark chapter 13, 9 through 10, but you be on your guard. They will hand you over to the Sanhedrin, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before the governors and kings because of me as a witness to them, and the good news must first be proclaimed to all the nations. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say. On the contrary, whatever is given to you in that hour, say it, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. There is a couple of keys that come through this that are really important. Jesus says, first of all, don't worry. I know what's going on. This stuff that takes place all around you is not escaping God. He's not up there going, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, that's a real surprise. Well, who knew that was going to happen? The answer is God. He's all-knowing, which means he doesn't just know what's happening right now, but he knows what will happen in the future. And by the way, if you don't understand this, it's a really big deal. God knows what will happen in the multiverse, not just the universe. And the reason that you can say that is because King David said, if I do this, will they do this? Or if I do this, will they do this? And God told him the answer on both cases. If you do this, they're going to do this. If you do this, this is going to happen. And so that shows you that God's knowledge expands way beyond what people think. He knows what would happen if you turn left instead of right. He knows what happens if you go straight instead of turning left. He knows. But as the end gets closer and as things take place, there's two things you can absolutely be assured of that are going to happen. One, there is going to be a greater persecution for the church. Now, will the church present escape that through a rapture situation? Boy, we all hope so. But if not, that doesn't mean you're going to abandon your faith, does it? No. So we will stand firm no matter what. That's number one. And number two, along with persecution is proclamation. The good news must be proclaimed to all the nations, to all creatures, to all the different people groups. And then the Lord says, don't worry about what's got to be said. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. So like, this is not an operation that's taking place void of God. I understand that people are very committed to certain systematic theological end time movements. I get it. I got no problem with that. If you're really into it and you really have a real specific system, you really think this is the one, I think that's great. If it's wrong, you just have to be prepared to stand firm. Or if you're a person that thinks we're never going to have a rapture and then the rapture happens, you just have to be the person that claps first. That's all. It's not like a big deal. But persecution increases and proclamation increases. How much does it increase? You heard about the professor in England, not in Russia, not in Tiberia, not in one of the foreign countries that don't allow women to drive. In England, a man was stripped of his position as a professor because he would not abandon his biblical point of view. In England. That's as close as it gets to us. It's us and England. Maybe some sidebar there with Canada, but I mean, it's what it is. And it's like in that country, the demonic forces in the world culture have taken such a great stronghold that now you cannot have a biblical, constitutional position of belief if they believe it's contrary to what they determine is okay or not okay. That's just the reality. That's persecution. Can't hold your faith. By the way, they will not exercise that against the Muslim faith. It's against the Christian faith, which is like, how bizarre is that? That's just weird, right? So two things are going to happen, persecution and proclamation. In either case, you don't have to worry about it. Maybe before I finish this sentence, we'll all be gone. I wish. I would like to avoid driving home in the traffic and just be done with it and see all my relatives that are going to make it up there. On the other hand, there's some relatives I'm still working on, so you never know. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is don't stress about it. Don't freak out about it. Don't worry about it, because the one being that has all things in the palm of his hand is the Lord, and nothing is getting by the Lord. And by the way, you're his. You're his kid. He's got you covered. My wife just got a shirt. It has a skeleton. She has to get it for work. It has a skeleton. Has another skeleton's backbone. And it says, I got your back. God has your back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get any of our music, you can get it for free at livinginhisgrip.com. Who was that fiery preacher who was on just a second ago? Anyway, livinginhisgrip.com. You are welcome to get the music. It's under the Hymn, H-Y-M-N project. Pretty soon you won't be able to say the word hymn. It's getting to be a little weird. That's all right. All right. That's okay. All right. Just keep smiling. All right. Here's a bonus for you that you can tell your friends, right? Not a trivia question because I've got all these trivia questions lined up, but here's a bonus for you. It's a trivia. It's a joke. Okay. Humor. Right? If Moses had dropped his staff into the Red Sea, what would it have become? You know what the answer is? Wet. Wet. This is why I'm not a comedian. All right. You know what I did do? I did do this in church. We had a church in Flagstaff. And one of the things I did do is I would get up there and there'd be, you know, a few people there. And I'd say, okay, let's turn to the book of Hezekiah. And you just cannot believe how many people would start turning in their Bibles. All right, let's turn to the book of Hezekiah. There is no book Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the king of Israel. But it sounds like an Old Testament book, doesn't it? It sure does. All right, let's move out of that and into the next teaching. I want to talk about this teaching, this example that Jesus set when he was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane. Because I want to pray like this. And
And I ask God to help me pray like this, not to go through what Jesus went through per se, but I want to be able to pray like this with the level that, that Jesus did. Listen to this prayer, Mark chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. He said, then he said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake. Then he went a little farther, fell to the ground, and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So here's Jesus at the point where he knows this is it. He is going to lay down his life. John is very specific in chapter 9, very specific about Jesus voluntarily laying down his life. Anybody who tells you Jesus was a victim of the death penalty doesn't understand the difference between the gospel and the gobby toy from Willy Wonka. Okay, whatever that toy is. I'm just trying to explain to you. Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. The Father has given me this authority. He's laying down his life for us. He gets to the point where this is at the core. This is the moment. He's overwhelmed internally. Remember, he is human and he is divine. And the human part, the human element, is recognizing that there is going to come a change. He knows what's before him. It's what enables him to endure. But he also knows that what's coming is brutal. It's not just bad. It's brutal. Because Jesus knows what's written. Jesus knows what the prophecies are. Jesus knows what the scripture says about what's going to happen. He goes a little farther away from the disciples. He falls on the ground, which nowadays, if somebody fell on the ground and prayed, we'd think there's something strange, which I don't know why we would think that. I would think that somebody who's overwhelmed would have every right and it'd be proper. It'd be completely dignified to fall on the ground before God. And he prays that this might pass, that he doesn't have to go through it. And he doesn't, there's a few that, well, he wasn't really praying that. Yes, he was. He was praying, hey, Father, all things are possible for you, which tells you God can do anything. Well, can he make water come out of a rock? That's exactly what he did for Israel. He made water come out of a rock. Jesus says, take this cup away from me. He's not shy in bringing that to the Father. He said, this is brutal. I know what's coming. Take this from me. But then he stops at that point and surrenders it. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Remember, the passage says that Jesus is familiar with our sorrows and acquainted with our grief. And he offers the perfect prayer. He says, all is possible for you, Father, regardless. I'm asking you to get me away from this, but I want first what you want. That is the ticket. When you and I are praying prayer, when we're offering prayers, when we're bringing it to the Father, there is nothing wrong with expressing exactly how you feel. There's no point in the universe in trying to dodge your communication with God on how you feel about something. One of the things that I feel like the Lord taught me when I was a young man, when I found my deliverance from drugs, was I was honest about it. I didn't sit there and say to God, oh, you know, I hate this or I hate this. I didn't, because I didn't hate it. So I just thought, I'm just going to tell God how it is. Hey, I like doing this, but I know you've told me you don't like me doing this. I need your help.
It's like the honesty is the best part, because that honest and earnestness is where God moves the most. And it's like, look, Lord, I'm going through this trial. I don't like it. I want to get away. I want to be free. And you might be going through a trial, and you might be thinking the exact same thing. I want to get away from this. And there's nothing wrong with bringing that to the Lord and saying that. But you must close it with surrender. There's nothing wrong with expressing how you feel. There's nothing wrong with expressing a hesitancy, maybe you know, kind of almost not a resistance, because that's the wrong word, but kind of like a maybe hesitancy is the word. Like, you really don't want to go through it. You really want to see if there's a way to avoid it. You just really want to get around it. But then the requirement for you and I is to fully surrender it into the hands of God. So here's my question for you. I only got 2 minutes left that I get a chance to tell you this. Is there something in your life that the Lord has you going through that has great difficulty? And if you could get away from the whole thing, you would. It's like, if I don't have to go through this, that'd be great. But nonetheless, you can tell the Lord is leading you down that path. And if that is the case, have you surrendered that to his will? Period. Period. Question mark. Because the Lord wants us to be us in him, but surrendered. So what do you and I need to surrender? Even if we don't like it, even if the trial of it is tough, what do we need to offer up but then yield? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That prayer is critical to being a mature Christian, one who desires and seeks the kingdom of God first. Praying this part of the prayer, Our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying that prayer to the Father, surrendering it, knowing he will get you through. The end result for Jesus? Resurrection. Resurrection for him and for you and for everyone that believeth. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.